Tonight, we're following several developing stories. The new questions raised by the Trump FBI search. Sources telling ABC News that a Trump lawyer stated in June that all classified documents had been turned over to investigators. Plus, new reporting in the attempted assassination of author Salman Rushdie. What may have motivated the suspect, now charged with attempted murder. The unsealed search warrant reveals agents took 11 sets of classified documents from Mar-a-Lago. One the government considers the most sensitive information. We'll look at the possible risks to national security. The former president insisting he declassified the material. Why that may not matter, as he's investigated for possibly violating three federal laws. What top Republicans are saying about the search tonight. And the FBI's new warning about threats to its agents. Mary Alice Parks and Aaron Katursky standing by. Also tonight, the Rushdie attack. The author who spent years in hiding, now hospitalized with serious injuries. The man accused of stabbing him in court today, entering a plea of not guilty. What we're learning about the suspect's alleged support for the Iranian regime that once called for Rushdie's death. The warning about polio, with traces of the virus found in New York City's wastewater. The dangerous disease that causes paralysis, once eliminated in the U.S., now back on the radar. If you've had the vaccine, how long does protection last? What you need to know. Deadly flash flooding in the Southwest. A second body found in Las Vegas. A daring rescue in Arizona. And Rob Marciano on the new concern about a possible mega flood that could one day devastate California. The war in Ukraine raging, with fighting near the country's largest nuclear plant. What one official is warning tonight. Trouble on the tarmac. Two planes bumping each other at a busy airport. And America Strong, the doctor who overcame the longest of odds, now sharing a special connection with her patients.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening and thanks for joining us on this Saturday. I'm Mary Bruce, in for Whit Johnson. We'll have more on the attempted assassination of author Salman Rushdie, including what we've learned about the suspect. But we begin here with the latest on the FBI search of former President Donald Trump's home in Palm Beach, Florida. ABC News has just confirmed that a Trump lawyer signed a statement in June saying all classified documents at Mar-a-Lago had been turned over to federal investigators. But that apparently was not the case. The warrant showing that agents recovered a trove of classified documents on Monday, some relating to national security. The Justice Department now investigating whether Trump potentially violated three federal laws. But tonight, a number of questions remain unanswered, including who may have handled this sensitive material and why the former president held on to it. News of the unprecedented search sparked outrage among his supporters. On Thursday, an armed Navy veteran tried to breach the FBI office in Cincinnati and was later shot and killed by police. And tonight, the FBI is warning of increased threats to its agents, as well as the judge who approved the search warrant. There is a lot of new reporting to get to, and ABC's Mary Alice Parks leads us off.
Tonight, that unsealed search warrant raising new questions about the handling of some of the nation's most sensitive documents at Mar-a-Lago.
When you have information that's so sensitive and it's been kept for over a year, apparently, in an unsecured area of President Trump's residence, who else has had access to it? But maybe more importantly, what has he done with it?
Agents executing a search warrant at the former president's residence only after a subpoena and a visit by FBI agents in June. Tonight, sources confirming to ABC News a report in the New York Times that a lawyer for Trump signed a statement in June after a visit by the FBI, saying all classified documents at Mar-a-Lago had been turned over to federal investigators. But agents Monday saying they seized 11 sets of classified documents, including four marked top secret and one marked SCI, a classification for some of the most sensitive national security information, normally viewed in a highly secure location.
Access to those documents by people who are not trustworthy could lead to the revelation to our enemies on who our sources are, who our spies are, how we use our technical collection capabilities. Those types of things can cause us to lose fragile intelligence sources, or it can lead to people's lives.
The newly released search warrant revealing FBI agents were searching Mar-a-Lago for evidence of three potential crimes, including violations of the Espionage Act. Republicans were quick to come to the president's defense, accusing the Justice Department of playing politics.
They just go after people.
We have to defund and make cuts in the Department of Justice.
But no word tonight from Republican congressional leaders since the warrant was made public. Some in the party pressing for more information.
This demands full transparency because without transparency, government is not accountable.
And Mary Alice joins us now. Back to this question of classification, Mary Alice. Donald Trump claims he declassified these documents. There is no evidence of that. But even if he did, that wouldn't necessarily have an impact on these three potential crimes being investigated.
Absolutely. There is no question that a sitting president has authority to declassify information. But like you said, we've seen no evidence of that. And more, there could be crucial national security information referred to in these documents. There is just so many rules around how sensitive material is handled, which is why either way, there still could have been crimes here. Mary.
Mary Alice, thank you. We know you'll stay on top of this. Let's bring in ABC News senior investigative reporter Aaron Katursky. And Aaron, you've been reporting all week that in the wake of this raid, the FBI has been warning of threats against its agents, against law enforcement. And tonight you have new information to share. Authorities making it clear tonight this threat is intensifying.
It sure is, Mary, and we've had a look at a new joint intelligence bulletin from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security that says there has been an increase in threats and acts of violence against law enforcement and government officials ever since the raid at former President Trump's Florida estate. That includes the federal judge who authorized the search. And chillingly, Mary, the bulletin also says that home addresses and relatives, family members, have been identified as potential targets. One other note from the bulletin. Mary, it also says that some of the rhetoric coming from public officials is only escalating the threat.
An interesting warning there, perhaps, for everyone to watch the impact of their rhetoric. And Aaron, looking ahead, as for what comes next, we've seen the warrant, but not the affidavit that outlines the actual evidence justifying this search. So should we expect to see that at some point? And if so, when?
Well, the Justice Department has specifically not asked for the affidavit to be released, and typically it wouldn't be unless and until there are criminal charges. And the reason is to protect the innocent, in this case, former President Trump, in the event that there are no criminal charges that result from the search. There may be one other reason, too, Mary, and that is there could be more investigating to do of others who may have had a role in removing documents, and the FBI would not want to tip them off to that.
No, they would not. Aaron, thank you. Tracking it all for us tonight. We are learning more tonight about the man accused of viciously stabbing author Salman Rushdie during a public appearance. The 24-year-old suspect appeared in court today, his attorney entering a plea of not guilty to second-degree attempted murder and assault charges. ABC's Mola Lange reporting tonight from Erie, Pennsylvania, where Rushdie is being treated.
Tonight, detectives calling the brazen attack on author Salman Rushdie at a Western New York lecture series an apparent assassination attempt. And they say the suspect, 24-year-old Hadi Mutlad of New Jersey, has shown strong indicators of ideological support for the Iranian regime. Authorities say among the images investigators found on Mutlad's phone, photos of Iranian Major General Qasem Soleimani, who was killed in a U.S. drone strike. The incident occurring Friday morning at the Chautauqua Institution, just after Rushdie got on stage to speak. Mutlad allegedly stabbing Rushdie multiple times.
Once he got Mr. Rushdie on the stage floor, he just continued to go at him.
First responders airlifting Rushdie to this Erie, Pennsylvania hospital, where he underwent surgery and is now being treated. Rushdie's agent telling ABC News Friday evening that he is on a ventilator and cannot speak, and that Salman will likely lose one eye. The nerves in his arm were severed, and his liver was stabbed and damaged.
He attempted to murder Salman Rushdie.
Mutlad now charged with attempted second-degree murder and second-degree assault, his attorney pleading not guilty on his behalf. President Biden calling the attack vicious, and that Rushdie stands for essential universal ideals. Iran's Grand Ayatollah Khomeini had called for Rushdie's death more than 30 years ago. Rushdie's 1988 book, The Satanic Verses, considered by some Muslims to be insulting to Islam. in Tehran tonight. This man saying he was glad because the insult Rushdie made against our prophet and the fatwa Khomeini issued against him finally worked. Investigators do not know at this point whether the Ayatollah's prior call to assassinate Rushdie was a motivating factor in Friday's attack.
Mola joining us now from outside the hospital where Rushdie is being treated. And Mola, has there been any reaction tonight from the Iranian regime to this attack?
Well, Mary, no official comments, but we have heard from news outlets with close ties to the regime. One newspaper calling the attacker courageous, and another one running with the headline, Satan on the Path to Inferno. Mary.
Mola, thank you. And turning now to the recent detection of polio virus in New York City wastewater. Health officials tonight warning that the potentially deadly virus could quietly spread among the unvaccinated. ABC's Phil Lipoff reports from New York.
Tonight, for the first time in decades, growing concern about polio in the United States.
This is a massive public health red flag.
That's because the virus that had been eliminated in the U.S. since 1979 has been found in New York City's wastewater. It comes nearly a month after a healthy but unvaccinated 20-year-old man was diagnosed with polio in Rockland County, over an hour outside of New York City. That man suffering paralysis. The polio virus causes paralytic polio and can lead to permanent paralysis or even death.
This is a very, very serious disease, and we want to make sure that we take all the steps we can at this time and sound the alarm right now.
So many Americans wondering tonight, will the polio vaccine they received decades ago protect them today?
If you're vaccinated, it's not something you really have to worry about. But in communities where vaccine coverage is low, then we do worry about spread.
Health officials now urging those who are not to get vaccinated. The CDC recommends 4 doses of the polio vaccine for a person to be considered up to date.
It is an extremely safe and effective vaccine. It is the reason that we no longer see thousands of paralyzed children every year from polio.
After that diagnosed case and the wastewater testing here in New York, Los Angeles County in California says it is considering doing similar polio monitoring tests just to get ahead of any potential risk there could be to the public. Mary?
Phil, thank you tonight tracking these concerns from coast to coast. Now turning to that deadly monsoon weather out west. Flash flooding caused by relentless rainfall has led to 2 deaths in Las Vegas. One victim was found in a flood channel following Thursday's downpour. A news crew from our ABC affiliate KTNV discovered a second body late Friday and alerted authorities. And in Scottsdale, Arizona, a woman trapped by floodwaters at a skate park had to be hoisted to safety by first responders. ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano tracking the flash flood threat tonight. And Rob, so much of the focus has been on the drought out west, but a new study is warning that California could one day face a devastating flood.
That's right, Mary, and they're getting some flooding right now just from the monsoon. That's where the threat for flash flooding is tonight. Riverside County, San Diego County, that's where we're seeing the big jolt. You see it on the radar all the way up into parts of Wyoming as well, where they had the flash flooding event in Yellowstone just a couple of months ago. This is only moderately helping the drought situation in the West. California's 97% of it is still under severe drought, while the drought in Texas continues to expand. 2/3 of that state under extreme drought, and only the southwestern corner southeastern corner of it will get a little bit in the way of rain that may relieve. That study you speak of just released is saying that climate change is going to exacerbate flooding in California. Even though we want the rain so bad, in the wintertime we can get these atmospheric river events, and with the climate getting warmer, those hold higher moisture contents. When they do come, they raise the freeze level, so it doesn't fall as snow, comes down all as rain, and with the increased amount of wildfire burn, we get more burn scars, so more in the way of debris flows. And they fear that at one point in the past, all of Sacramento and San Joaquin Valleys were flooded. That sort of flood can happen in the coming decades. Mary?
Hard to imagine, Rob. Thank you. We turn now to Ukraine and the growing threat to a nuclear power plant there. Ukraine's intelligence agency is warning that shelling from Russian forces continue to land dangerously close to that nuclear facility. ABC's Britt Clenant brings us the latest from Kyiv.
Tonight, Ukraine forces hitting Russian positions in the Kharkiv region in an attempt to regain control of their eastern villages. Ukraine claiming to have struck the last of 4 key bridges over the Dnipro River, crippling Russia's ability to resupply its military. It comes after a week of attacks in and around Europe's largest nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia. The city's governor today warning of irreparable consequences. Russia is using the plant as a military base, but Ukrainian staff are still working there. ABC News spoke exclusively by phone to a manager at the plant who was able to leave a month ago. Wanting to remain anonymous, he described Ukrainian workers being held like captives by armed Russians, telling us, quote, "When an assault rifle or a gun has a cocked trigger, I consider it a threat." Just days ago, we visited Chernobyl, the site of the world's worst nuclear disaster in 1986. Russian tanks and troops took Chernobyl on the first day of the February invasion, but were forced to withdraw months later.
This is the shelter where dozens of Ukraine soldiers were held. More than 160 of them were sent back to Russia, and it's not clear about their whereabouts.
Locals hoping history doesn't repeat itself. And the Kremlin is warning the U.S. that if Congress declares Russia a sponsor of terrorism, it would cross a point of no return, with diplomatic relations lowered or worse, broken. Mary?
Britt Clennett and Cleve Key for us tonight. Britt, thank you. Next, we go to Spain and the crowded music festival where powerful wind, gusts of wind caused the death of at least one person. More than 20 others were injured when structures from the stage and the main entrance of the Medusa Festival collapsed. Organizers say they tried to evacuate the more than 50,000 concertgoers shortly before the strong winds tore through the grounds. And there is much more ahead on World News Tonight this Saturday. What happened when two planes got too close for comfort in Boston? And why law enforcement is warning some car owners about a troubling new social media trend?
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, tense moments for passengers as two Delta planes collide at Logan Airport in Boston. Authorities say the planes struck each other while both were at the gates on Friday evening. As one plane pushed back slowly from its gate, it struck the wing of another aircraft at a low rate of speed. Luckily, no passengers were injured. And tonight, police are warning drivers about a troubling new social media challenge that may be linked to an uptick in car thefts. The so-called challenge demonstrates how to start certain Hyundai and Kia models without a key, using instead a USB cable. Thefts in Cook County, Illinois, have increased more than 700% over the previous year, according to Sheriff Tom Dart. To the index now, California is now the first state to offer free nutritious meals to all public school students. Some 6 million students will be eligible for free breakfast and lunch when the school year starts. The program was funded by the state's large budget surplus. It does come at a critical time with so many families hit hard by inflation and rising food costs. And now a very heartwarming journey, a decade in the making. Wynton Bernard made his major league debut Friday night after toiling in the minors for 10 years. The first person he had to share the big news with was his mom.
I did it, Mommy. I did it, Mom.
That moment captured in this video posted online by the Colorado Rockies, the 31-year-old singled and stole a base, helping the team defeat the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-3. That is one very proud mama tonight. And finally tonight, America Strong, one woman's amazing journey from patient to doctor. Claudia Martinez has wanted to be a doctor since she was a little girl. But while taking her pre-med courses in college, she started having troubling symptoms.
I started getting headaches. I started getting numbness and tingling in my legs. And it got to a point where I would stand up and I would fall. I was starting to kind of black out.
Diagnosed with Chiari malformation, she needed immediate surgery.
I've had 6 major brain surgeries.
During her last brain surgery, while still attending medical school, an unexpected complication.
I had a stroke that left me unable to function from the neck down.
But it didn't stop her from pursuing her dream.
People around me were very diligently telling me that I needed to leave medicine.
In rehab for a year, she worked hard, regaining most of the function she had lost.
I had to relearn how to do absolutely everything. I had to learn how to sit up. I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to brush my teeth again.
Now, 5 years later, she's back in the very same hospital, this time as the doctor, caring for patients just like her.
I just want to take a look at your legs, okay?
Giving hope to her patients because she knows what they're going through.
It's hard to see the progress every single day, but when you look at it by each week, you really see how far you've come. I just want people to see that having a disability isn't the end of their lives. It often can be the beginning.
A remarkable journey come full circle. I'm Mary Bruce. Lindsay Davis will be back here tomorrow night. Have a good evening. Good night.